Welcome to the weekly broadcast of the Father's House International in Westminster, South Carolina. We are bringing forth and reestablishing the apostolic message, movement, and ministry, and God's fatherhood and family in all dimensions. We are a local, regional, and national ministry that is cross-cultural and multiracial. Now, here is our founder and host, Dr. Seymour.
Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Seymour, the Father's House. My son, Elder Seymour, is speaking today, and he walks in the revelation of the Lord all the time. And so he certainly, you'll find out he knows what to say and he knows how to do it. So, Elder Seymour, you come right on. My son, Elder Seymour, is coming to bring the message. Praise God. Give him a big hand.
First thing I need to do is lay some background to get where I'm going. I've got to set the stage or you won't understand it. Okay? So open your Bibles to 1 Samuel. And let's go to the end of chapter number 17. We'll start at verse 55. This is right after King David had slain Goliath. One thing I'll bring to your remembrance about that, what did King David get when he was going to fight them? What did he gather? He had a staff in his hand and what? Five stones. And that definitely represents the fivefold. But it's also because Goliath had four brothers. So this is immediately after he has killed Goliath. And we'll start at verse 55. King Saul is inquiring to Abner, the captain of the host, the general of his army, who this young man is, because he doesn't know him yet. And when Saul saw David go forth against the Philistine, he said unto Abner, the captain of the host, Abner, whose son is this youth? And Abner said, as thy soul liveth, O king, I cannot tell. He didn't know. And the king said, inquire thou whose son the stripling is. He's a very young man. And as King David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said unto him, whose son art thou? This is verse 58, thou young man. And David answered, I am the son of thy servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite. And it came to pass, chapter 18, verse 1, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. So this happens, and he's brought into, well, maybe I will read all this. It won't take too long. Verse 2, and Saul took him that day and let him go no more to the home of his father, King David. He took him into the king's court. King Saul had King David be part of his court after that. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul, and Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David. And his garments, even to his sword, his bow, and his girdle. He basically stripped down to his underwear and kept his weapons and gave his princely garments to King David. That's how much Prince Jonathan loved him. And David, verse 5, and David went out whithersoever King Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. So everything's looking up for King David right now. But things are about to change. Verse number 6. And it came to pass as they came when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that is referring to Goliath the giant, that the women came out of all cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet with King Saul with tabrets and with joy and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played, saying, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth. At that moment, King Saul's love for King David turned into hate. And in this chapter, in total throughout King Saul's life, he attempted to kill King David 21 times. 12 of them are in this chapter. The first one is actually the first two, and let me explain that to you as I go here. So things have changed for King David. Not only has he fallen out of favor, something's coming to kill him. They're coming to kill him bodily. But something can kill us in our body. Something can kill us in our finances. Something can kill us in any area of life. Enemies take more than one form. And the women answered one another as they played, saying, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. And King Saul was wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and unto me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day forward. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and prophesied in the midst of the house. And David played with his hand and other as at other times, and there was a javelin in the hand of King Saul. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. King Saul threw a javelin at him two times there. That's two attempts at the same time. So King David goes through 10 more attempts on his life in this chapter. I'm not going to read them, but when you get past this chapter, verses 19 is more about attempts to kill King David, but it's about the covenant with Jonathan and David. Verses 19, it deals a lot with the covenant with Jonathan. Now let's look at chapter number 21 here. So when King David makes a covenant with Prince Jonathan, we remember the story here. Jonathan helps him get delivered from King Saul. King David was hiding in a field at one time, and Jonathan gave him a signal, and he knew to flee, right? So he was definitely knit to King David. So after that, King David flees again. So he's on the run, right? He's a fugitive. So let's go to chapter 21, verse 1. Then came David to Nob, to Ahimelech the priest. He was a high priest, actually. And Ahimelech was afraid at the meeting of David, and said unto him, why art thou alone and no man with thee? And King David said unto him, he's lies to him here. And King David said unto Ahimelech the priest, the king hath commanded me a business, and hath said unto me, let no man know anything of the business whereabout I send thee, and what I have commanded thee, and I have appointed my servants to such and such a place. Now therefore, what is under thine hand, give me 5 loaves of bread in my hand, or what there is present. And the priest answered unto King David and said, there is no common bread under mine hand, but there is the hallowed bread, if the young men have kept themselves at least from the women, okay? King David eats of the show bread here, but he's still on the run. God helped him, gave him some food, but he's still fleeing. Now he comes to another place, and we're getting where we're going. So King David, how many believes this year has been trying? King David is going from the frying pan to the fire everywhere he turns. Out of the frying pan into the fire. Every situation. You get one, you think you got one thing solved and another thing goes bad. You're having to handle. So where does King David go? Go to 1 Samuel 21 verse 10. And King David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul, and went to Achish, the king of Gath. Dear Lord, that's like General Patton fleeing to Berlin in World War II. He goes right into the teeth of his enemies. He'd slain their champion, Goliath the giant. He'd killed many of the people of that city. And Goliath still has 4 brothers there. And David arose and fled that day for the fear of Saul, and went to Achish, the king of Gath. King David is under so many attacks. He flees to Gath, the city of Goliath. The 4 brothers of Goliath still lived in Gath. Joshua 13:3 describes these 5 giants as the lords of the Philistines, the 5 lords of the Philistines. And then if you want to go farther and read about it later, we're not going to do it now. 2 Samuel chapter 21 talks about King David's mighty men slaying each one of these 4 brothers. So they are taken out by God's men. So from Shihor, which is before Egypt, even unto the borders of Ekron northward, is counted the Canaanite, 5 lords of the Philistines, the Gazaathites, the Ashdodites, the Ashkelonites, the Gittites, the Ekronites, and the Avites. So that's Joshua 13:3. Verse 11, 1 Samuel 21, 11. And the servants of Achish said unto him, is this not David, the king of the land? Well, he's actually not king yet, but he's looked upon as that by them. Did they not sing one to another of him in the dances, saying, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s? So when he heard Achish, the king, inquire about this, is this not that man? Verse 12, and King David laid up these words in his heart and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. He fears for his life here. There's more to this I'm going to show you shortly. Verse 13, and he, King David, changed his behavior before them. And he feigned himself mad in their hands and scrabbled at the door of the gate and let spittle fall down upon his beard. He acted like a madman. He did it, you know, he faked it. He acted insane on purpose. Then said Achish unto his servants, lo, ye see the man is mad. Wherefore have ye brought him to me? Now, wait a minute. He fled, yes, but he was brought to them. There's more to the story. Verse 15, have I need of madmen that ye have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? So Achish basically, in the end, lets him go here, all right? But there's more to this. We're going to get into it now. Now, let me explain something to you. It's not a commandment in the Bible, but there is a tradition the Jews have. Observant Jews pay attention to this. And I have known this. And God brought to my remembrance a certain chapter in the book of Psalms. So every year of your life, Jewish people read a psalm, meaning they study a psalm throughout that year. And let me explain how that works. When we are born, how old are you?
Zero.
You're zero. Then you're 1 month old. Then you're 2 months old. You know, we count by months. We don't count by days or weeks. The first year of one's life, people go by months. You're not one until your first birthday. You're 1 year old when you complete your first year. All right? So when you're putting anything in a chronology, like chapters and verses, you have to start with one. You don't start with zero. So for the first year of someone's life, so basically, you take your age, you add one to your age, and you study that number psalm for your year. I'm 55 years old. The psalm for me to study for this year is Psalm 56. If you're 40, you should study Psalm 41. If you're 60, Psalm 61. Okay?
Yes, sir.
It's not a commandment, but I believe that's a very good practice. It's not, nothing at all wrong with it. So turn your Bibles to Psalm 56. Now, in the King James Version and all the English translations, all the Christian English translations of the Bible, meaning the Old Testament part, they always put the headers to the Psalms. You know, it always has a header, but they don't count it as a verse. If you look at a Hebrew Bible, like Jewish translation into English, they do count it. So anytime if you're looking at a Hebrew, a Jewish Bible, verse 1 in your Bible in any Psalm is going to be verse 2 in theirs. It changes the count, just so you know that. Point being this, the headers aren't just something somebody wrote. No. It is in the Hebrew text of the Bible. It is the Word of God. It's a scripture. It's not something someone added to describe it. So we're starting with the header, okay? To the chief musician. So King David is writing this to the chief musician over all the people in the house of God. So this is the man who is over the music in the house of God that King David is writing it to. Most rabbis believe King David wrote this after this happened to him. So this, he's looking back at this when he writes it, okay? This actually tells you more about what happens in 1 Samuel 21, verses 10 on down to the end. This gives you more information about it. So let me show this to you. This gives you a lot of indication on what King David's walking through and the state of his soul. How many believe that a soul in anguish can even make your spiritual hearing go down? How many believes that?
Oh, yes.
Psalm 56. To the chief musician upon Yonath Elim Rechokim. What does that mean? I don't know why they didn't translate that into English. This is important. It's smashed together when you see it there, but it's actually three words. It is not a compound word. It is Yonath. It is Elim. And then it is Rekokim. Rekokim is in the plural. Rekok is the word, okay? Rekokim is plural, which can be used to mean more than one, but also can expand something. The word Yonath is dove. It's the Hebrew word for dove. How many believes the Holy Ghost comes in the form of a dove, right?
Yes, sir.
Elim means silent. How many believes that King David ministered to the Lord with his mouth, with the instruments?
Yes, sir.
He was a king, he's a man of God, but he also had the music he did too. King David may have been the greatest human musician that ever lived. I don't know. King David was an exceptional person. Elim means silent. And that word rakok, which is in the plural, rakokim, means distant or far away. So what that's saying is this. There is a rabbinical story that says that is the name of a song. The silent dove from distant lands. That's what that means. The silent dove from distant lands, or the silent dove from far away. It can be translated that way as well. He's a vagabond. He's home. He's a man without a country, right? He's forsaken of all men. Some rabbis say that was a song of the times, and this is meant to be sung to that tune, okay? So people would know it. But also, when you think about it, King David ministered through music a lot, but he's silent. His soul is so vexed that can't come out. That's what it's telling you. He's going from one catastrophe to the next, over and over and over, out of the frying pan, into the fire, then to the other side of the fire, then back into the frying pan again. It's like Gilgal. It's a wheel that rolls over and over. It never stops. To the chief musician upon Yonath Elim Rekokim, Miktam. What does Miktam mean? Miktam means an engraving or a poem. It's the psalm that he's written here, okay? But when you look up the verb, the root word of it, which is to engrave, right? It also brings another meaning into it. Precious. More precious than gold. It's precious enough, God had it included in the Bible. There's a class of psalms called miktams. This is one of them, okay? It's an etching, meaning it's a written down psalm. It's a poem written down. It's etched. King David, who was described in 2 Samuel 23:1, and it's actually in his last words, he's called the sweet psalmist of Israel, and he's silent. But even though he couldn't say it, he could still write it. 2 Samuel 23:1, I'll read that verse to you. Now these be the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, and the man who was raised up on high and anointed of the God of Jacob and the sweet psalmist of Israel. Now let's go to Psalm 56, verse number 2 here. Mine enemies would daily swallow me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou most high. Enemies take more than one form. How many feel like you have enemies this year that are trying to swallow you up? How many feel that way? Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou most high. What time am I afraid? I will trust in thee. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Now, he has men that are coming after him right now. You can have infirmity. You can have any catastrophe that's coming after you. It may not be flesh coming after you. It may be something coming attacking your flesh. It could be a financial ruin. It could be anything you walk through, right? What time am I afraid? I will trust in thee. Wait a minute. When King David feels like there's no hope, he's still going to trust in God. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I will praise his word. When you're under such anguish that maybe You can't even hear spiritually everything you need to hear. You've still got God's word to stand on. A more sure word of prophecy. That's what King David is saying to him now. If I can't feel you, God, I will pray. In God, I will praise in His word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do to me. Every day they rest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. How many believes if you've got a sickness in your body, it's against you for evil? 24 hours a day, day and night, it never lets up. It never stops. You can have any catastrophe that's coming after you. It could be a financial ruin. It could be anything you walk through, right? Any enemy can be that way to you. That verse there, every day they rest my words. Let me read you the Jewish English translation. It tells it better. All day long, my words grieve me. All their thoughts about me are for evil. When you look at what Rashi says about this, he says what King David is saying there, I'm under such anguish. The only things that can come out of my mouth is grief and cries. Nothing else can come out of my mouth. I'm consumed with it. It's with me night and day. Every time I get past one thing, another thing hits me. Go to verse 6. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. How many people feel like something's marking your steps right now? It's hounding your soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger, cast down the people, O God, the people who are my enemies. If you got a sickness in you, cast it down, O God. If you're facing any mountain, cast it down, God. Thou tellest my wanderings, meaning, God, you know everywhere I've had to flee. You know all my wanderings. You know where you know my flight right now. You know every inch of it. You know all my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? Put thou, O Lord, my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? Who has had an occasion this year to shed a tear about something?
Yes.
Let me tell you something. It may feel like God's 1,000 miles away sometimes if you're under pressure about something. Every tear that falls from your eyes, God saves it. He writes it in a book. He counts every tear that drops from your eyes. Don't ever think He doesn't. He puts them in His bottle. When you look that up in the Hebrew, it's actually a wineskin. But they translated it as bottle. Put it in your bottle, God. Save my tears and count them when I cry unto Thee. Then shall my enemies turn back. This I know, for God is with me. God is for me. Whatever you're facing right now, I've got the answer for you. Verse 10. In God I will praise His word. In the Lord I will praise His word. Again, what is he praising? He's not just praising God. He's praising His word. He has nothing else he can stand on right now. He's bereft. He's alone. He feels forsaken. He's not forsaken of God, but he feels forsaken of God. In God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid of what man can do unto me. If you dedicate your life to God, every second you breathe, you have a covenant with God if you do that. I said you have a covenant with God if you do that. When W.K. Livingston prayed about his son there, say, prepare his life, God. I paid my tithes. I've been faithful to you. He had a covenant with God, and his boy lived. Verse 12, thy vows are upon me. Thy covenant is upon me. O God, I will render praises unto thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Who feels like you've been walking near in the valley of the shadow of death? God will deliver your soul from death. That word deliver, I want you to hear something. In modern Hebrew, They use that same word to describe ambulance drivers. Somebody who's coming to save your life. They use that exact word for an ambulance driver or an EMT, paramedic, whatever you... They use this Hebrew word for it. How many people need the Holy Ghost to come like a paramedic to you? This is the last verse here. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from failing, from stumbling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living. We're all going to walk before God in the light of the living. Let me add one more thing. Go back to the header of the psalm, the beginning part of it. To the chief musician upon Yonath Elim Rekokim, Miktam of David, when the Philistines did what? Took him. King David's in prison when he's in Gath. He's being tortured daily, night and day. The four brothers of Goliath are pressuring Achish. Kill him. Kill him. King David acts mad and God delivers him. Let me tell you something, everybody. I don't care how it looks. Put your faith in God. Trust in God. Praise God. Thank God for everything you've got. I don't care what you're walking through. God is still good. God's not going to fail you.
Hallelujah, praise Him. Praise God, hallelujah. He put your tears in a bottle. Praise Him.
God's bigger than your enemy. God is bigger than your enemy.
Hallelujah. Riba shokola bahata. Halalala la 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 bokota de mosha. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Oh, kayada bashan. Roba bokota tokota bokota beka. Roma mamaka shata taka la bakata. Halalala bokola bokola bekita. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Seymour, the Father's House. Of course, that's my son, Dr. Elder Seymour, who just has preached this message. Praise God. Great message. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
We trust that you've been helped during today's broadcast with Dr. Seymour from the Father's House International. Join us right here on WGOG every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. We invite you to come be with us in our weekly services at the Father's House International, Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. and Tuesday evenings at 7:30 p.m. We are located at 415 Pateras Way, Westminster, South Carolina. For directions or additional information, call us at 864-647-7777. That's 864-647-7777. Until next week, may you allow God to bring you into a greater measure of His truth and a deeper level of relationship with Himself.